Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. Which song did Johnny Cash perform at his visit to the White House on this very day back in 1970? Was it A, A Boy Named Sue? Was it B, Stand By Your Man? Was it C, Rhinestone Cowboy? Or was it D, Welfare Cadillac? Johnny Cash's song for President Nixon at the White House today in 1970. And question number two, it was on this very day, back in 1964, that the FBI concluded what? Was it A, that the assassination of JFK was planned by the mafia? Or was it B, that the lyrics to the song Louie Louie were unintelligible? Or was it C, that payola was driving disc jockeys' radio selections? Or was it D, that John Lennon was ineligible to reside in the USA? So what did an FBI investigation conclude today, back in 1964? Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of April the 17th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1939, that Gene Autry recorded Back in the Saddle Again, today, back in 1939. And it was 28 years ago today, 1998, that Andrea Bocelli performed for Bill and Hillary Clinton at the National Symphony Orchestra at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. As noted in an overview, AI, Bocelli is an Italian tenor known for his unique blend of opera and pop music. He was born in 1958 with congenital glaucoma. He started piano lessons at age six and later learned the flute and saxophone. He trained to be a lawyer, but he switched to music full-time after a year of legal practice. Andrea Bocelli, and that article was from 1998, 28 years ago today. Finally, in transitions with a local touch, we have this sad news. Beach Music Hall of Fame singer dies in crash Saturday in eastern North Carolina. This is written by John Marasek, Charlotte Observer, April 12th, 2026. I Howard Douglas Winstead, Jr., a singer, trumpeter, and member of the Carolina Beach Music Hall of Fame, died in a crash early Saturday in Dunn. The awards group that runs the Hall of Fame confirmed. The 67-year-old Concord resident was a member of the Band of Oz, founded in 1967 in Grifton near Greenville, North Carolina. Originally as the Avengers, according to the band's website, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2021 and was a Songwriter of the Year nominee. Winstead was driving a 2019 Chrysler Pacifica minivan on Interstate 95 North when he failed to reduce his speed and hit the rear of a 2025 Peterbilt tanker truck, according to a North Carolina State Highway Patrol statement. The truck had slowed due to traffic ahead, according to the statement by a Highway Patrol spokesman. The crash happened around 2:15 a.m. near Pope Road in Harnett County, the spokesman said. Winstead died at the scene. The highway reopened just before 6 a.m., and the crash is still being investigated, according to the State Highway Patrol. Keith Houston, a founding member of the Band of Oz, said he was too upset to talk about his friend Saturday. The band was scheduled to perform at Sunday's Halifax Resolves Day. On Sunday, the town of Halifax wrote on Facebook that the concert would go on. We are unbelievably grateful to the Band of Oz for their dedication, especially during this extremely difficult time, the post said. Winstead's death drew an outpouring of sympathy online. Our Beach Waves crew was devastated to learn of Doug Winstead's tragic passing this morning, Beach Waves Radio said on Facebook. Doug always brought the smiles to his unique brand of entertaining generations of beach music fans over the years. We are deeply saddened by the loss of our friend Doug Winstead, the Catalinas said on Facebook. Our prayers are with Deanna Winstead, the Band of Oz, and the entire beach music community, and all the lives that he touched for many years. Gone way too soon, the famous beach music band said. Love you, Doug. R.I.P., dear friend. Beach Music Hall of Fame singer Howard Douglas Winstead, Jr. Mark Howard's Countryside introduces our classical music news with a local touch. It's titled Sights and Sounds on Sundays, Chamber Music's upcoming concert, North Carolina Museum of Art, Sunday, April 26, 2026, Gabriel Martin's Quartet, Chamber Music Raleigh, P.O. Box 2059 Raleigh, North Carolina 27602. So go online to chambermusicraleigh, that's one word, .org, or phone 919-821-2030 for more details and ticket information. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Mad About the Mandolin, Returning to Making Music Later in Life. This is published in New Yorker magazine by Tim Parks, April 11th, 2026. On October 30th, 2023, shortly before my 69th birthday, I stepped into a music store a few minutes from my house in the southern suburbs of Milan to buy a mandolin. At first, I thought that I would come away empty-handed. It's a big store with long rows of guitars and orchestral instruments on every wall, the floor space taken up by pianos and keyboards. But eventually I spotted them, high in a cobwebby corner, two mandolins, one a folksy flatback and the other a classical bowlback. After getting them down with the aid of a ladder, the store assistant had to wipe off the dust. Though Italy was the birthplace of the mandolin, both had been made in China. I hesitated. I hadn't touched a mandolin since adolescence, and even then, I'd only fooled around. At home, I pulled the flatback from its case. Its eight strings were arranged in pairs and tuned in fifths, like a violin. G, D, A, E. The first weeks were a roller coaster of pleasure and perplexity. Touching the strings, my fingers started to remember things that I had long forgotten. Here was the Irish jig, Father O'Flynn. Here the English lament, Water of Tyne. And here even the opening bars from Vivaldi's Concerto for Two Mandolins. Simply holding the mandolin had transported me back 50 years. But although I played for 2 or 3 hours a day, I struggled to make progress. Asked by friends to play something, I'd become impossibly nervous. Does music have value, I wondered, if you play only for yourself? What had seemed like a good way of chilling out was actually plunging me into a kind of crisis. If this attempt to reclaim the instrument of my youth had been a mistake, I wasn't alone in making it. Asking around, I became aware of other older people who were returning to music or even taking it up for the first time. I discovered that my brother had gone back to the piano and joined a Facebook group called Adult Piano Returners, which has 46,000 members. It was uncanny, we agreed, that we both felt this compulsion to make music on the threshold of old age. A little research suggested that the trend was global. In Germany in 2023, the National Association of Music Schools reported that the number of seniors in music education had grown sixfold since 2000. Perhaps as a result, various European countries had introduced academic programs in the study of music learning in old age. Far from being a sign of dotage, scientists concurred, music practice in old age confers all kinds of cognitive benefits. After years of following a group who'd taken up piano in their 70s, neuroscientists at Kyoto University found that areas of their brains crucial for motor control, learning, cognition and memory were surprisingly free of the atrophy that usually accompanies aging. Was I the only other older person to have chosen the mandolin? Well, as a teenager listening to folk music in London pubs, I'd been attracted to the instrument's nimble, tinkling cheerfulness. Its being on the margins, not too demanding, perhaps. Unsurprisingly, experts identify the quote-unquote threat to the ego as a major obstacle for older learners. The mandolin, unlike the violin, quoting from a 1768 method book, however, can tolerate mediocrity. Back then, music was overwhelmingly domestic. There were no concert halls, and if people wanted music, they had to make it themselves. Discovering this history, I felt strongly about what a different phenomenon music is when you make it yourself. You're inside it, living it, experiencing a pleasure so intense that pleasure is perhaps no longer the word. This surely helps explain why older people are turning to it. Volume, however, is a real issue for the mandolin. In the late 19th century, the mandolin quartet was developed, mixing treble and bass versions of the instrument. In just a few years, such ensembles became all the rage, spreading through Europe to the U.S. and even Japan and Korea. As early as 1888, Kansas City was reported to have 100 mandolin clubs, and by the turn of the century, all the major East Coast cities had mandolin orchestras. And to meet increased demand, factory-built mandolins appeared. In the early 1900s, Gibson developed the F-style flatback inspired by the Stradivarius violin. The idea was to produce a louder instrument that could be used for classical as well as folk music while being assembly line friendly. Enter Bill Monroe's new bluegrass music genre. I never asked you, my teacher remarks, if you were interested in playing with the mandolin orchestra. If I'm ever good enough, I said. He's given me the solution to the existential question of what to do with your time in old age and how to avoid the temptation to work forever as if you were immortal. The prospect is alluring. Next up, an article titled, "This 1972 Number One Soft Rock Hit Just Surpassed 1 billion streams on Spotify. I'm amazed and surprised." The iconic track is a timeless classic. This is written by Jacqueline Burt Cote, Parade Magazine, April 10th, 2026.
I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There were sand and hills and rain. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. Felt good to be out of the rain.
A Horse with No Name by the band America introduces our rock and pop music news. As guitarist singer for America, Dewey Bunnell told Classic Wrong in 2007, "Everybody had a song called I Need You in mind as the single. It was initially felt that A Horse with No Name was good, but perhaps a little too quirky as a title," he continued. "At first, it felt like a bit of a novelty song. It was a shock that it became so popular. Now, over 50 years later, A Horse with No Name was released. Bunnell continues to be shocked by the song's success. In a new video posted to America's official TikTok, Bunnell took the time to thank fans for the track's most recent milestone, passing the billion streams mark on Spotify. Hi, this is Dewey Bunnell of the band America, the musician said in the clip. I'm amazed and surprised that I've just been informed that the song, Horse with No Name, which I wrote and America recorded, of course, 50-plus years ago, has surpassed the 1 billion mark on Spotify," he continued. "Thank you to all you listeners. Thank you, Spotify. And thank you to that old horse with no name." Fans in the comments were thrilled to hear the news, with one calling the accomplishment pure gold. "Proves that music is timeless," added a second person. "One of the greatest songs ever written," declared someone else, with another commentator calling it the best song ever. Not only did Bunnell come around to the fact that A Horse with No Name was destined to be a hit, He's also made peace with the fact that America is associated with the soft rock genre. As he told Classic Rock, being called middle of the road used to make me flinch, he said. But I'd like to think that we've carved out our own place in music history. It seems Spotify users would say that's exactly what America has done. America's 2026 tour is currently in full swing and has dates scheduled nationwide through the end of October of this year. For more information, check out the band's official website. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which song did Johnny Cash perform at the visit to the White House on this very day back in 1970? Was it A, A Boy Named Sue? Was it B, Stand By Your Man? Was it C, Rhinestone Cowboy? Or was it D, Welfare Cadillac? Correct answer? Answer A, A Boy Named Sue. As noted in an April 23, 2025 article in AmericanSongwriter.com, on this day, April 17, in 1970, Johnny Cash performed at the White House. Richard Nixon requested A Boy Named Sue and two cover songs. Cash played his signature song for the president and the gathered crowd. However, he refused to play the cover songs. Instead, he chose to perform a 12-song set, largely made up of original and gospel material. According to WETA, although Cash voiced his support for Nixon before performing at the White House, he didn't back Nixon for POTUS for his policies. Instead, he was hoping for an end to the ongoing Vietnam War. At the same time, Nixon hoped to win the progressives in Cash's fan base to the Republican Party by hosting him on Capitol Hill for his quote-unquote evening at the White House concert series. Ahead of the performance, Nixon asked Cash to play his song, A Boy Named Sue, and to cover the songs Okie from Muskogee and Welfare Cadillac. Cash was fine with performing his hit song, but he refused to play the other two. At the time, he said he didn't have time to learn the tunes and didn't want to step on the other artists' toes, Merle Haggard and Guy Drake, respectively. Later, though, he wrote that those two songs were lightning rods for anti-hippie and anti-black sentiment. Haggard's satirical song about the purity of life in Oklahoma became an anthem for social conservatives. Drake's Welfare Cadillac is about a person who receives welfare and cheats the system using his monthly checks to buy a Cadillac. Fortunately, Johnny Cash's White House concert isn't lost to the sands of time. It appears on Bootleg Volume 3, Live Around the World, released by Sony Entertainment in 2011. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day back in 1964 that the FBI concluded what? Was it A, that the assassination of JFK was planned by the mafia? Was it B, that the lyrics to the song Louie Louie were unintelligible? Was it C, that Paola was driving disc jockeys' radio selections? Or D, that John Lennon was ineligible to reside in the USA? Correct answer? Answer B, that the lyrics to the song Louie Louie were unintelligible. As noted in an AI overview, the FBI conducted a 31-month investigation into the Kingsman 1963 hit Louie Louie, following moral panic and complaints that its slurred, unintelligible lyrics were obscene. Despite laboratory tests, playing the record at different speeds, and examining over 100 pages of documents, the FBI concluded the song was not obscene. Cause of investigation? Well, parents and educators feared the song contained obscene lyrics, with some spreading false, dirty lyrics and promoting state officials to pressure federal authorities. The investigation. Agents interviewed members of the King's Men and even analyzed the recording for hidden messages. The findings. The FBI laboratory concluded the lyrics were indecipherable and could not be verified as obscene, leading them to abandon the case. The truth. The singer, Jack Eli, was not singing dirty lyrics, but rather mumbling the original lyrics while trying to sing over a loud band. It was later reported that the only improper language was a single shouted profanity by the drummer after he dropped a drumstick, which was unrelated to the lyrical content. So, let's close out today's program with that song the FBI concluded on this very day, back in 1964, was not obscene. Here's Louie Louie. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.